Broadcasting live from the Gwinnett Studio of Business Radio X, located inside Office Suites Plus at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies that do business in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmon, alongside my co-host, Stephen Julian. And Stephen, you came in earlier in the week, casual. Today, you're all dressed up. You must have a business meeting later today.
I am always in a perpetual state of business meeting, Mike.
And you wear purple well, by the way, every
time. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Hey, we've got a full house today. Joining us here on Gwinnett Business Radio is Ken Fainer. He is the president of thesocialglue.com. We have Sharon Rocchio, with the owner and principal event planner with Your Seamless Event. We have Stephen, of course. We have John Chuckery and Jason Sanowski with Scott's Lawn Service. And we have our friend Marie Fratoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars. And we'll start today's show with Ken Fainer. Ken, you're with thesocialglue.com. Tell us about your business and what you do.
Okay, yeah. The Social Glue is a social media company, and we basically help businesses manage their social media. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that people don't think about until they really start getting into social media. And one of those things is actually keeping an eye on it and managing it. We write the content. We then look for conversations developing. We help perpetuate those conversations and that type of thing. Most business owners don't really have the time to be on social media, the amount of time that it actually requires to have a successful campaign.
Are there companies out there that don't need social media, or is social media really necessary for everybody?
Well, I'd like to say that it is necessary for everybody, and there's some business out there that you probably wouldn't think would make sense for social media, and it totally makes sense for them. Kind of a test that I usually try to, gauge with somebody is, first of all, do they have a story to tell? If they've got a story to tell, that's a good chance that social media would really work for them. The other thing would be, what happens when they walk up to somebody at a cocktail party and says, this is what I do? If people run from them, then there's a good chance they're not a good fit for social media. But if people say, oh, tell me more, then, good chance that they would really fit in good on social media.
When you talk to business owners and managers, do you find that most of them understand how to use social media, or is there a learning curve that you really need to educate a lot of folks out there?
It's continuing education, really, because things keep changing, and it changes very, very quickly in social media. A lot of people think they really understand it, and they have a fairly, good grasp of what, the concept is, but they don't really get all the, I guess, finer parts that make a campaign or make their social media program work.
What are some of the most common mistakes that people make when they have social media? Oh, Ken, I'm fine. I don't need your services. And you say, no, here's what you're not doing right. What are some of maybe more common mistakes?
Just in general, the whole idea about social media is to create a conversation. Probably the biggest mistake is that people try to market the way they market with what I like to call interruption marketing, regular newspaper, radio, TV, it interrupts what you're doing. And social media, people signed up to be a part of what you're doing because they want to engage with you. And if you're never asking them a question or asking for their input and you're always telling them stuff, then it's a good chance that it's going to fail.
You brought up a word that we hear a lot on this show when we're talking about social media, and that is engage. You want
right.
to engage your customer. Talk more specifically about what engaging means.
Well, it's really very simple. You have to remember to ask people questions or at least make a post that would cause some type of interest or possibly get them to share. Engagement comes in a couple of different forms. People can, on Facebook, they can like something, they could possibly share it, or they can comment on it. So it comes in a couple of different forms. You want to create posts that will evoke a reaction, and you want a good reaction. So you have to be careful, what you're saying. You want to stay out of politics and things like that. You want to, have a good conversation about what you have to offer as a business. I think a lot of people have a tendency to just talk about their business, and they don't really have a way of engaging. So I always, when I'm talking to a client, I say, you know, I was looking at your Facebook page or whatever. You really need to ask more questions, you know, because you can get a lot of great ideas from people out there that can actually help you grow your business.
Ken, I think sometimes business owners who might be listening and think about social media, they might be thinking, yeah, everything's fine. They also might be thinking, kind of, where do I start? Or also might be thinking, well, why would I go with Ken and Social Glue over anybody else? So my question would be, can you think of a good practical example of a business you were able to help? And kind of, maybe they started at square one, maybe you met them at square 17 and took them, you know, way beyond where they were, their expectations. Give us a, do you have a good a success story?
Sure, I have a couple. I'll stick to one or two. I've been working with one company here in Atlanta, Budget Blinds of North Atlanta, and we were really pretty much starting from square one. She did have a Facebook page, but there was really nothing on it yet. So we kind of got that up and going, and we kind of developed a strategy for what we were going to try to do. Their position in the market is, people hear the name Budget Blinds, they think budget inexpensive, and that's not really the case. So by presenting high-quality photos and work that she's done, we kind of overcome that, you know, that this is an inexpensive, but they do have a budget for basically every type of household out there. So they do have things on the lesser or the less expensive, but they're not, you know, what you might call cheap. It's very nice stuff. So by using images and things like that, we were able to get that across. I have another account that I work with, and kind of started from scratch with her also. She had a small following already of some friends and things like that. And we go out and we do a couple of different things. Facebook allows you to buy ads, and I think that's probably one thing that people in business never think of. They think, I'm on Facebook, it's free, you know, why do I want to buy ads? Well, ads will actually get you out there to new people that don't know about you. And if you make the ads correctly, or a lot of times I use the actual post as an ad, Facebook shows that like crazy to people. And if you have really good posts, then that's going to build. We've built this one account. It's Rena Rose is the lady's name, and her product is Perose. It's a scarf, and she's across the country. She's also in Australia and Canada. She was just on QVC. And QVC, I'm sorry, I'll be in trouble now, HSN. She was on HSN last week, and they said to her, what are y'all doing? Because y'all are actually selling product, and you haven't been on the air yet. Because we had found out that her product was up on the HSN website, and I started telling people to go buy and just, you know, preview it so that they could be ready to buy it. Well, they actually started buying it. So, you know, QVC, HSN was very, very happy with results.
Ken, I think one other thing, obviously your company is named Social Glue, and one of the things I noticed on your business card, you have a lot of different logos. So you've mentioned Facebook. What are some of the other websites you work with? What are some of the other vehicles you use with your clients to kind of glue it all together?
Right. I use Twitter. I use LinkedIn. I also use email marketing. I use Constant Contact for my clients. It's a great email marketing tool. You know, for the fashion account, Rena Rose and Perose, I use Pinterest. And a tip, when you're using Pinterest for businesses, use really good high-quality photos. That's real important on Pinterest. On Facebook, nice photos, you know, go a long way. But on Pinterest, people really want a quality photo if they're going to be pinning it to their own board.
We're talking with Ken Fainer. He is the president of the socialglue.com, and that's glue, GLOO.com. Can you explain how you came up with the name of your company?
Well, my wife came up with that. We had a name, but then you have to find something that isn't already being used for your URL, for your website. So we started looking around, and there was actually a company in, I think it was in Canada, that used GLOO. But they were Social Glue, and I became the Social Glue, And since then, they are no longer around, and I now also have social glue. So, you know, that's kind of how it came about. My wife came up with the spelling.
Let me ask you this question. I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway and let you run with it. But there's no way this social media is a fad. I mean, this thing's going to be around for a while, isn't it?
Right. I mean, you know, I've been in it pretty much, you know, some people – You'll find some people say that it's been around for since
Al Gore invented the internet.
Internet,
it was
yeah.
Ken and Al Gore.
Yeah,
they,
you know,
they started together.
It's been around for 7 or 8 years, and it has in some form or another. Probably people don't even think about this, but email is a form of social media. It's probably one of the earliest forms because social media is totally opt-in. You get someone to like your Facebook page. You get someone to follow you on Twitter. You get LinkedIn with somebody. You know. Email marketing was the same type of thing. People opt in to receive your emails, and if you do a good job, they'll share that with people. So one of the things that I do for my accounts that when we're working in an email campaign also is try to cross-promote. The emails will, of course, have all their ways to get connected with them on social media, but their social media will also be telling them how to sign up for their email. So, you know, doing that back and forth, that way if someone shares their email with somebody, then they can find out about their social media and get signed up for their email.
It's all glued together, as you said earlier, Steve.
Is.
Almost like social glue, Mike.
Yes, glue. Oh. Ken, for those companies out there that are listening, those business people that want to find out more and say, hey, I like what Ken is saying. I need to know more. I want to, you know, increase my social media presence. How should they get in touch with you?
Probably the easiest way is to just call 678-358-3680. Or they can go to the website, thesocialglue.com. And then they can also look for me on Facebook and on Twitter, get LinkedIn with me. The last name is Fehner. If you just type in Fehner, I'm probably the only one coming up. So, you know, they can find me on LinkedIn and get LinkedIn with me. I'm all over the place.
How do you find your new business? Is it mostly references and just through the social media, or do you get out in the community a lot?
You know, it's a lot of, and this is what I find out with most businesses I'm talking to. I say, you know, how do you get most of your business? And they mostly say word of mouth. And I get a lot of, my customers will say, you need to talk, you know, to Ken. So I get a lot of that. And I've grown my business basically on that premise. And the neat thing about social media, I like to say it's like, you know, word of mouth on steroids.
Ken, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
All right, Ken Fehner with the socialglue.com here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Joining us now on the show is Sharon Rocchio. She is the owner and principal event planner with Your Seamless Event. Reading your bio information, sounds like you have a pretty fun job. Tell folks what you do, Sharon.
Thank you. I do have a fun job. What I do is I take care of all of the needs for producing and coordinating events for businesses, non-for-profits, as well as life events, whether it's a wedding or your 40th birthday party. I take care of all of the production, getting the vendors together, making sure it runs seamless, which is where the name came from.
We had a, Stephen, we had a travel planner on with us Tuesday. And what I said is it's not just the products and services, it's the peace of mind that she offers. And so you offer peace of mind that I know it's going to be taken care of.
I do offer peace of mind. I also offer the opportunity for my client to enjoy their event. In many cases, a client will think that they can take care of all of the details. And by the time that event comes, that day they're exhausted. They don't want the event. They don't even want to be at the event in many cases. And they forget very, very important details, like perhaps the van to come and move their guests from one place to another. It's not there, and oh my gosh, I forgot.
That's priceless. You could just enjoy the event.
No, it's not priceless. It's seamless, Mike.
It's seamless.
It's seamless.
Thank you. That's why Stephen is here in the studio. How long have you been doing this? How did you get involved in this, Sharon?
Well, I worked at a private school for many, many years, and I worked my way through with some credentialing into their department where we did fundraising. So when we were doing the fundraising, I was charged then with doing all of the fundraising events, whether the galas, the golf tournaments, things of that nature. As time went on, I thought, you know, I can do this, and I can do this for a multitude of people and organizations, not just one. So around 3 years ago, I launched Your Seamless Event.
What are Sharon, what are some of the biggest traps that people can fall into if they're trying to do their own event that makes the event not seamless?
Well, they try not to spend a lot of money. So what they end up doing is they really don't take care of getting the best product for the best price. They're just looking at price. They don't have the knowledge base of risk management, so they don't know what to do in case there's a problem. They overspend in many cases because they don't have a professional that has vendor partners in the industry that could help them out. They overlook, like I said before, most of those critical details that they just think, oh, I helped Aunt Susie plan Cousin Joey's wedding, and now I'm an event planner. It's much more than that.
You mentioned vendors, and obviously you're only one woman, so you can only do so much. So you have partners and vendors that you bring in, I assume.
I sure do. I make it my business to learn what the vendors do, make sure I interview them, that their product is something that I would put my name on, and spend a lot of time getting those relationships solidified before I recommend them out.
Sharon Rocchio, she's with Your Seamless Event. We love stories. Tell us about maybe some of your favorite events you've ever done, maybe a nice little small one, and one of the biggest events you've ever done.
Well, one that I'm working on now, actually a few I'm working on now are very interesting. I am working on a motorcycle rally, and you would think...
You strike me as a biker chick.
It's all the leather I have on. And that's what's very interesting. When most people think of event planners, they think of wedding planners. And they're much more, my company, we're much broader than that. So I was asked to organize a motorcycle rally, and it's a fundraiser for abused children in North Georgia. So that is a very interesting event because you get to meet a variety of different people. Of course, my thoughts on what a motorcycle rider would be have changed a lot, and their thoughts of what an event or party planner is, of course, have changed a lot. Another great opportunity that I'm working on with a client is we are taking care of a retreat and a conference in the Carolina Mountains, and it is for a group of people, business professionals, that need a break and to come to a seminar. So I'm going to be doing all the logistics for that.
Sharon, if someone is starting to plan their event and realize, hey, I want this to be seamless, so I need to talk to somebody, what are some good questions people should ask when they're interviewing? Well, of course, they should call you. I mean, that just goes without
saying. Of course.
But let's just say they're not as smart as that, and they're going to do a little interviewing and they're going to try and find. What are some good questions they should ask any event planner?
Questions to ask an event planner: how long have you been in business? What your passion is? Like Mike just asked, you know, give me some idea of what you do and the variety of pieces that you put together, how you've handled some emergency situations, and how your vendor partners, how you go about getting them. So you just don't have someone down the street. I always say you don't get a plumber to do an electrician's job.
And it also would uncover the people who all they have is just a nice little stack of business cards. And like you said, oh, I did somebody's wedding once. So
that's
I'm going
exactly
to be an
right.
Planet.
That's exactly right.
Go once again, just kind of go through some of the different events that you, because you have such a wide variety. I mean, you're talking about you do events for children.
Children typically aren't my basis.
Okay.
I don't go out and solicit children. However, I've done bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs. That's the coming of age for 13-year-olds in the Jewish faith. That's about the youngest I've done. What ends up happening in my business, like Ken, it's a lot of referral. So I might be doing your golf event, or I might be doing a gala, and you have someone in your family that's getting married or that is having a life event, as I call them. So I would never say, no, I won't do that. It's not my specialty. But I do take care of that because it's the same basis. It's the same amount of detail, the same amount of expertise.
Any time when people are coming together,
that's exactly
it's an event.
That's right.
So, okay, that's interesting. Now, on your website, which is yourseamlesevent.com. You have something that says about five reasons why clients should hire you, and also something about 5 minutes to avoid the top five event disasters. Is that one and the same, or is that two different things?
It's one and the same. It's taking 5 minutes to just think of how to avoid those five top event disasters. And what I mean by that is I've been to many events where people run out of food. I can't imagine. Maybe it's my Italian background and heritage. I cannot imagine inviting someone to your home or to your event and not having food to feed them.
One of the basics, too, is people run out of ice.
They're right out of ice. That's exactly right. They don't pay attention to the weather conditions. Things like, what if it rains? What are you going to do with power outage? You know, someone in the profession, you say, oh, it sounds like a fun job, and it is, and it's my passion. But there's a lot of work to make something seamless, making sure that that ice is there, making sure that you have the person with the generator and their telephone number handy. I have a phone. I've got 1,000 contacts in it because I know I can call someone, help me, and they're there. But it's not just a last-minute panic. They've already been put on notice that's coming. Another thing, you know, like I said before, what if you miss all the fun because you're stuck handling the details? It's like running around with a clipboard, and you never get a chance to take care of your guests. Think of galas. You're there as the client to raise money. You need to touch and talk to all those people, not to serve them drinks, not to see if they need to know where the bathroom is or things of that nature. Another detail that people overlook is, you know, that they're not used to dealing with flights, transportation issues, things of that nature. I mentioned before, I was at an event one time. There was 100 of us, and someone thought that they were doing a great job, and they had a limousine for 100 of us. 12 of us were happy, but the rest were still waiting for the buses to come. Things of that nature. And then lastly, just to have somebody talk you through. You know, a lot of people have a great vision, but they don't know how to get from point A to point B. And it's being able to help and direct them through the process.
You know, what's running through my mind is that Steve Martin movie where his daughter's getting married and he's just running all over the place and, you know, oh, my God, this. And he's not enjoying the event as you're talking about. You don't want to be that guy. That's why you need Sharon with your seamless event. I understand you've won some awards as well. Brag on yourself a little bit.
I have, actually. In 2012, last year, I won an Alley Award for the best corporate event in the city of Atlanta, under $25,000. It was a gala for 300 people. I had a very, very small budget because it was a fundraiser. Had to be creative, and the Alley Committee thought that it was nice enough to win the city of Atlanta award. And if for those of you that don't know what an Alley Award is, it's equivalent to an Emmy or an Oscar, or a Tony Award, but for the events industry. Mm. Actually, I just put in another entry yesterday for this year.
Wow.
So let's hope.
Sharon, one other question I wanted to ask is, you said at the beginning that a lot of people, one of the big mistakes they make is they don't spend enough money. And I think sometimes there might be people who are on the fence. Maybe I should get an event planner for this. Maybe I can do it myself. And obviously the first objection they're going to say is, I can't afford an event planner. How do you overcome that objection? Where do you start the conversation with them? Because one of the things I was thinking is you talked about having relationships with vendors. It might be that a lot of the cost can be retained simply by some of the savings you might be able to give them. Is that where you start the conversation? And what else do you say to people?
That's exactly where I start the conversation, because I do have vendor partners and I'm able to get a lot of the services at a reduced cost. Also, I go through some of these big errors and big disasters from some of my private and previous clients to be able to share with them, you might be spending a few dollars, but do you want this to happen?
You nailed it. I think you nailed it. You really perked my ears up when you said risk management. I would not think of risk management in an event, but that is the return on investment to be able to protect against a horrible, you know, shot to your image or what you're trying to accomplish through the event.
Well, every event is about risk management. Most people see it as, what am I going to wear and what shoes and, you know, what dance
What am I going to eat? That's what I think
What am I going to eat? Things of that nature. Those of us in event planning, what we're thinking about from that morning, we're thinking about, is our guest speaker there? What about the flights? Is that taken care of? Has the limousine take here? What about the food? Because even if we go to a place as large as Cobb Galleria, for instance, who has a great staff, I still am that liaison, making sure that the captain has all of the food in a place, in a time. Everything is timed. There is a production schedule. There is a what we call a run a show to the minute. Just like this radio show, same thing with an event. Minute by minute, everything is planned.
We're renaming the show, by the way. It's going to be Your Seamless Radio Show after today. Sharon, let folks know how they can reach out to you if they want to check into your services.
Similar to Ken, best for me is phone call.
Go to thesocialglue.com?
Well, he and I are going to talk later.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, my phone number is 678-878-1198. Also, a great place to look at visual images of my past events would be www.yourseamlessevent.com. I also have a blog for Your Seamless Event. I am on Twitter, same thing, Your Seamless Event. I have a business Facebook page, has great, there's about 26 albums there that show some great images, some of the detail shots. And last but not least, for recommendations in the industry, go to my LinkedIn profile, Sharon Rocchio.
Ken, I don't think she's a good lead for you. I think she's got everything covered under social media.
She's doing a great job.
All right.
Well, again, in my business, most of my business comes through referral. So you have to make sure you are out there. You have to make sure you're doing a great job. And you have to make sure that you have a place where people can come and see what you've done. Because if you think about it, I don't sell a product. I sell a service, and people are very visual these days. They need to see what it is that you can offer them.
Well, you're seamless today. We appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you so much. It was my pleasure.
All right, Sharon Rocchio. She is the owner, principal event planner for Your Seamless Event. Our next guest now on Gwinnett Business Radio from Scott's Lawn Service. We're joined by John Chuckery and Jason Sanowski. John, tell us a little bit about Scott's Lawn Service and what you guys do. I mean, we kind of know what you do, but give us an overview.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure everybody's probably familiar with the Scott's line of products. Everybody at some point in their life has gone to Home Depot and Lowe's and Walmart and those types of places and gone out in the garden centers. We like to joke, if I opened anybody's garage today, I could find something of ours in your garage. So, you know, you're familiar with Turf Builder, and we'd be gone different product lines like that. Well, what we do is we are actually the service side, where we'll take all those products and we'll go out and do the work for you, make it easy for you to go out there and have a beautiful looking lawn or landscape, but not have to put in all the backbreaking effort to go out there and do all that stuff. So we, everybody is, yay.
Mike, this interview's over. What else do we need to ask him? I mean, that's all I needed to know.
Absolutely. And see, we can take care of your lawn. We have a program that takes care of all the weed control, fertilizing and such for your lawn, disease control. We also have a program that takes care of all of your insect and disease control on your landscaping around the house. And through our sister company, we can even do perimeter pest control for you. So all the nasty little bugs and insects and such like that that like to come inside the house, we can wipe that out and take care of it for you as well.
Sold. Jason, welcome to the program as well. Talk about what you do, your role there, and John's role.
Yeah, my role here is the general manager for Scott's Lawn Service for Metro Atlanta. And John's our branch sales supervisor. And we work together and to collaborate between all the departments at Scott's Lawn Service to really provide good quality service to our customers.
This question is for either of you. Every question is for either of you, so just jump in whenever. But obviously, you're in a very competitive business. What stands you guys apart from your competitors?
I think there's two main things that separate us. Obviously, we are not just a service company. We are a company that is continuing to research, develop, create, manufacture new product lines. So the innovation in product lines to better improve not just your lawn, but the environment as well. I mean, Scott's a very, you know, green-friendly type of company. You can go and you know, purchase all different types of products that are very eco-friendly. So product innovation is one. The other thing, too, is that we're a very 21st century type of lawn care company. Online access to your account. I'll give you a quick story. We You can go on to scottslawnservice.com, myscottslawn.com even, and create a username and password for your account. And basically, when we come out and do an application on the lawn, you'll get an email alert letting you know that, hey, we've been out today to take care of your lawn. Somebody can go in, log into their account, pull up their account information. And I've joked, you can be halfway around the world on vacation and know exactly what we did that day. There's notes on there from our technician. So the lawn technician that was out there treating the yard, he goes out. We have little computers and printers mounted in our trucks. So all that information goes up into our website and into all the electronic system. And a customer can go out there and read and see exactly what's going on. Quick story, we had a customer that it was about 2 years ago, I guess it was, that they were on vacation, and they had pulled up their account, and one of the notes that the technician had left them was that, and this was the middle of summertime, that their lawn had heat stress, which basically is a sign that their lawn is dry, it needs water, we're going through a hot stretch in Atlanta. Well, these folks are on vacation and have no idea about what's going on, and the guy basically made plans to get a neighbor, a friend or something like that to go out there and water and take care of the lawn. Well, he would have known those types of things had he not been able to get onto his account. So, to help him make a partner and to make sure that everything is looking good and he's not coming home and seeing issues and problems when he gets out there, this was a way for him to be basically hands-on with what's going on and a partner in what we do. So we're a lot more 21st century in the way that we handle things, like I said, with the computers and printers in our trucks, being able to leave you a digital printed out, clear, coherent information each time we come out for you.
So we've upgraded from the carbon copy handwritten.
Chicken scratched handwritten note that you can't say. And all it says is, hey, thanks, Mr. Jones, for letting us treat your yard. Goodbye.
Here's your bill. Yeah. So let me ask another question. Another thing, again, with y'all's name, there's a lot of power behind that. There's a lot of strength. So speak a little bit about the scope. How small of a job can you guys handle and how big of a job can you guys handle, world's your oyster. Talk about it.
Yeah, we're ready to tackle really any job that's out there. We've got clients with small lawns that need fertilizer, need it fed, need the weeds kept out of it. And we have large commercial accounts as well. And we're prepared. We've got the equipment to handle both.
Yeah, we take care of we have Atlanta City Schools, I believe, that we take care of properties that have acreages at a time. I mean, there's as we've kind of joked before, there's no job too big, no invoice too big to make out there. So we can handle really any size and scope, whether it's as big as this table that we're sitting at or if it was, trying to go out and do multiple football fields. We have the equipment and the manpower, and we have three locations around Atlanta. So it's not just Norcross here, which is our hub, but McDonough and Kennesaw as well are treatment branches. And, I mean, we cover, we go all the way down to Macon. We go out to Athens. We go Villarica-Carrollton on the west side, up into Gainesville and Hall County, and almost to Dawsonville on the north side. So when you're talking about the service area, it's not just the size, but the scope of how far out we can get. And we've really only on the tip of the iceberg. I mean, in the next 4 to 5 years, we'll be even further out with where we go and in our service and what we provide.
That's awesome. And so if you move from one part of Atlanta to another part, you can stay with a name that you recognize.
Happens,
and the company
happens all the time. I mean, we have people that maybe one day they're in Lawrenceville, that they're in their house, they go over to Woodstock, and they'll just transfer their account from their lawn in Lawrenceville over to the new house, and a lot of times we'll even pick up the new person who's coming over to Lawrenceville. We'll just continue to do that. They'll just pick up the service there. So I mean, it's a broad range of what we're able to do and cover with the business.
We're talking with John and Jason with Scott's Lawn Service. What expectations should customers expect when they hire your company first out? Because, they may say you come out and you do whatever you do the first time. You can't expect the weeds to all be gone the very next day.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a process there.
I mean, obviously somebody's yard didn't develop all these problems overnight. So the resolution is not going to be an overnight situation. It varies depending on the type of lawn and what they have. But, our message to customers is that always give us a calendar year. We have a program where over the course of a calendar year, we're going to come out 8-9 times on the lawn, typically about once every month and a half. And to get the full scope of what we do, we need a calendar year from you. Because there's going to be – weeds are a seasonal thing, okay? There's not times of the year when things just go on vacation and they just decide not to come out. So you're always facing different types of problems. It might be weeds in one season. It might be disease in another season. It might be heat stress in another season. It might be, that the lawn is greening up and needs to be fed and nourished with the fertilizer. So to be able to get the full scope of what we do and to see everything that your lawn can be, we always ask folks for a calendar year from the time that they start. Give us to that next, I don't care if you start in March, May, June, July, but give us a calendar year from that period of time. That way you can see the full scope and the full range of what all the different treatments need, because every time these guys come out, there's different things going on, lots of moving parts, and that's why the do-it-yourselfer has so much trouble, is because there are some – trust me, if all you had to do was go to Home Depot or Lowe's and throw a bag or two of something out on your lawn, we wouldn't have, you know, 26,000 people around Metro Atlanta that we take care of. You know, it's just not that easy for people nowadays, not just time but knowledge and things like that. So to be able to get all the different things that we provide, we always ask for calendar year from when we start.
So you guys focus a little bit on the knowledge part for a second. I would imagine also what you don't do is show up and say, here's the 25 things we're going to do, sign here, and let's get started. There's a little bit of counseling. There's a little bit of helping people understand what you're doing, why you're doing. People who say, I just want to dip the toe in the pool. I want one or two things. I don't want the whole full-blown service. Talk a little bit about how you counsel people through that process.
Yeah, we have different programs for different people. You know, we're here to set up the program which best suits the homeowner's needs or the business owner's needs. So we're able to do that. You know, with the different products we have, we can customize a program for each person.
And you're not just some guy in a truck, you know, chucking a truck, as one of our past guests kind of got us started on that phrase. You know, you're not chucking a truck who does everything.
You're knocking my last name, are you?
No.
Well, Chuck, you drive a car, I'm sure. But but you guys can, again, there's also a professionalism to it. It's not just, you know, the same guy working on the lawn. There's somebody who, again, come out and help you find the right program?
Yeah, I mean, we basically, you know, when you know, from the start of the service, you know, you deal with a sales associate that it might be somebody that you talk to over the phone, might be somebody who's at your front door that you're talking to. But basically, you know, you have a liaison that basically you can always have a contact with. Then from there, you know, we turn that over to the service side of the business where, you know, we try to always dedicate the same person to your lawn each time that we come out. You know, our goal is to be able to keep that same person continuously because they're going to know the most about it. They're going to know that area. They're going to be able to, you know, have contact with the customer. And when these guys go out, I mean, we have a procedure where, you know, we come out, we knock on the door. You know, if anybody's home, they want to talk to us, they can always talk to the technicians out there. Do our work. We'll flag the front, flag the back, and always leave you lots of detail about what we did. So, you know, one of the things that we always do, it's not just, we were talking about the notes and stuff like that. It's not just, hey, thanks for letting us treat the yard and this, that, and the other. You know, we'll give you tips and tricks as we see something. Maybe you're not doing something right with watering or mowing or whatever. Because if you want to think about it as a pie, okay, take that pie into three parts. Mother Nature's a third, the customer's a third, and we're a third. So to basically work within that pie structure and to get harmony, we all have to do our little bits apart. We're only there 8-9 times out of a 365-day-a-year calendar. So, you know, we're not there all the time, and we're not there as often as maybe even the guy who mows your lawn, or obviously we're not there as often as you are. So a customer needs to be a partner with us in that, and what one of our jobs is not just taking care of our part of it, but help to educate and basically make that customer feel like they're a partner in what we do and how we perform the service.
We're talking with John Chuckery and Jason Sanowski with Scott's Lawn Service. I would think, gentlemen, that your company is a lot like Ken's and a lot like Sharon's. It's a lot of referrals and so forth, especially when someone has a beautiful green lawn and you're going to go up to that neighbor and say, wow, your lawn looks great. I would think that's where you get most of your new business. Is that a correct statement?
I wouldn't say most. I mean, we've taken more of a proactive approach in how we acquire our clientele, where it's a lot more outside sales and such now that basically, you know, we target areas and target neighborhoods, and we know we have clientele in there already, and we'll go in and acquire new clientele through outside door-to-door sales and different things like that. But referrals obviously is a big part of it, but we've taken more of a proactive approach in how we do things versus kind of the old style of lawn care was to kind of sit back, wait for people to contact you and see how it goes. You know, now it's a lot more proactive, get out there and the field, talk with folks. I mean, let's face it, most places nowadays have a homeowners association that is going to require you. Whether you decide that you want to take care of your lawn or not, most people are going to basically force you to have to take care of it. So, you know, this gives people an opportunity to basically meet face-to-face with somebody, you know, one-on-one, look at what's going on, and give them an honest opinion. I mean, let's face it, there are some things where you can't, you know, you can't turn the Titanic around. You know, there are just some things that are too far gone, and you know, we have to give an honest assessment about what we do. And being outside with people and taking that proactive approach allows us to basically give them, you know, basically, the, you know, we're talking about expectations. Set the right expectations from the start about what we can and cannot do within that. You know, we talked about that pie framework, what we can and cannot do just on our own.
Last question, I guess, before we get to your contact information, what's the next big thing out there? What's the next innovation maybe within lawn service? If you could look into your crystal ball and say, 5 years from now, we're going to be doing this. And right now, you know, Stephen and I are going, wow. What would that be?
Well, I think it's making, for lack of a better term, it's making probably the customers a little bit more hands-off. I'll give you an example.
Hands-off?
Yeah.
Leave the lawn alone.
Step away from the grass.
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to kind of throw a little bit of something, and, you know, everybody's got a witch's brew, and everybody's got something that their grandfather handed down to them.
They think they can do it better than you.
Exactly. A lot of people, for instance, with our product line, they're familiar with our WaterSmart technology. WaterSmart technology, for those who don't know, if you've ever looked at a bag of something from Scotts or Ortho or Miracle-Gro, and you see this big bright blue water droplet on there, and it says WaterSmart. Well, for instance, one of the things that we do in our service is it's two applications per year,
yep,
during the summertime, that we do a liquid WaterSmart, which basically is a coagulant that basically helps the water, or helps the lawn use water more efficiently. So at a minimum, the research has shown, and again, that's what's nice, is that we can do research and learn and test our products. The research has shown that at a minimum, you're going to water 35% less with our lawn care program than doing anything else on your own or going with somebody else because of these types of innovations in product line that we use. So I think that's the thing, is that, you know, the do-it-yourself, for while it sounds good, everybody here has gone to Home Depot, Lowe's. They've seen the prices of things, and I don't know if anybody drives a car that runs on gas, but I don't know if you've noticed that gas has gone up a little bit and all those types of things. So it's not the old theory about, well, you know, the do-it-yourself and you're saving money and things like that, that's gone out the window.
Well,
so that's one of the things, is that the product line has helped us develop to where you can be a little bit more hands-off in what we do.
Your seamless event for your lawn is Scott's Lawn Care.
Your seamless lawn.
Because they may be trying to save money, but if they ruin the lawn now, it's going to cost them more money to get it back to where it needs to be.
I was hoping we were going to get a scoop that they had the constant height grass that they're ready to bring out so that I never have to mow again.
That's the new innovation, field turf. If you're the Atlanta Falcons, that's the new innovation.
Artificial turf is going to be the next thing. There you go. Jason, for those companies that, the corporate accounts that maybe want to find out more about you, every business owner is a homeowner.
Anyone who has grass.
Anybody who's listening, anybody who has grass, how do they get in touch with you guys?
Absolutely. We are there for them at 770-840-0114. And that's for residential homeowners to the big business partners that we're looking for.
And scottslawnservice.com, too, is a way that you can learn a little bit more about the programs and such like that. And you can get a little bit more feel about the product line and the different types of services within those programs we have to offer.
So next time you work on your lawn, Stephen, I want you to feel a little guilty that you're trying to do it yourself. And you call these guys.
I'm going to go tell my wife.
Don't worry.
I'm not allowed to touch the lawn.
Oh, my God. What a great excuse we now. A built-in excuse.
I'll probably have a guy come out and tell him how bad it looks anyway for him. So don't worry about it.
You don't need somebody to come out to tell me that. I know that.
John Chuckery and Jason Sanowski with Scott's Lawn Service. Guys, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thank you.
All right. Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio, our old friend Marie Fratoni. She, of course, is the founder of Reinvent Yourself Seminars. She's a noted speaker, life coach, life consultant, sponsor of the show. We welcome her back every Thursday. And Marie, always great to see you.
Thank you so much.
Now, there's three stages of reinvention. Last week, we talked about stage number one. We want to talk more about stage number two, but to get us started, just kind of quickly summarize the three stages of reinventing yourself.
Okay, well, good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And Stephen.
Good morning.
Just want to say that when people are reinventing themselves or their careers, there really are three stages. And one is the planning stage, where they're really putting the time into, you know, look and see what's happening, their research, thinking, planning. And then there's the implementation stage, or the doing stage, where you actually create the plan and start to actually do the work. And then there's the evaluation stage, where people can get their feedback and see if they're on track.
All right, Marie, today we're going to focus on the doing stage, the second of the three stages. What is the doing stage? How do we get started?
Okay, well, you get started by taking a look at the information that you came up with during your research phase and start to put together a plan. And you put that plan, first of all, on paper, and you look at it, and you create some milestones, maybe have an intention for that plan. Maybe you could even give your project a name. And then what you want to do is actually put down the action steps that you're going to take that are related to the results that you want to produce. So we're really a results driven program, and the results dictate the activities. You want to put some milestones in there. You want to know that there's some good places to stop along the way and get your ice cream cones or gelato, as we say, and really check to see if you're on track. But the whole idea of the implementation phase is to just do it, do it, do it, and then you keep doing it again. And then you might have to keep doing it again and again and again until you get the results that you want.
How long would this stage last? I'm assuming this would be the longest of all the stages. This could go on for years, I would think, perhaps, depending on what you planned on doing.
Yeah, I think depending on the reinvention, I mean, some people can reinvent something in a weekend really quickly. And I think that, again, is related to their intention. But, you know, there's a saying in the coaching world that says it takes as long as it takes. And I think the key is to really look at yourself and have an honest look to say, am I really creating what it is that I set out to create? Am I really producing what I said I would produce with the results that I want?
If you're in the doing stage, and of course you're working on improving your life, and then you realize something's not quite working, can you go back and readjust the plan? And then obviously that readjusts what you're doing.
Absolutely. I mean, readjustment is a good thing. It kind of, flips into the third stage about the evaluation. But I always think that you're always kind of in one, two, or three interchangeably. You can certainly go back. And I think once people start taking action, they generate new actions. And they might meet somebody along the way that might even invite them to take another new action. So, you know, there's what we do inside of our own brain, inside of our own journals and note-taking, and then there's what the world provides for us as we continue on.
We're talking with Marie Fratoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars, and we're talking about the three stages of reinventing yourself, whether it's your career, your relationships, your life in general. I would think the planning stage, the first stage, is always kind of fun to kind of plan and talk about it. But then when you get into the actual doing, that can be the most exciting time of your life, because now you're actually doing and you're starting to maybe even see some results.
Yeah, I think, I think that there's an adage that says doing does it. And, a lot of people want the result without taking the right actions, or a lot of people think that reinvention is going to happen for them, just as they sit on their sofa or sit over having coffee with, a good friend. But really, when you try to get purposeful with the results that you're producing and really taking the right actions to get the right results, it's amazing. I think sometimes we don't know what that is, and that's why I think working with a coach or a board of advisors can be really quite good for you.
I would think you need to have someone to kind of hold you accountable in that doing stage as well, because it's very easy to just kind of go back to old habits.
Yeah, it is, and I think that, I always say when you're transforming your life, transformation never happens by yourself. It's not available, by yourself. The only way that transformation can happen is when you're in a dialogue or when you're with other people, because there's some kind of an alchemy that happens with that can move you along farther than you could do that by yourself.
We're in the doing stage or the implementation stage of reinventing yourself. You've mentioned before producing results. That would come in this stage, Marie. What does that mean?
Well, let's say someone is actually looking to reinvent their career. One of the things that many people don't do is they don't create a timeline. I've had a lot of experience working as a headhunter and recruiter, and I think that when people are changing careers, they don't have a timeline of by when they're going to actually have that new job. What I always say to people is our life is all made up anyway. We make it up. And then if we're the one that's driving the bus or in the driver's seat for our own life, we can determine when that's going to happen. And if we put that timeline out, it's interesting how the universe and situations converge to make the timelines often happen. It appears as though it's magical or maybe even seamless, but it's something that we can really direct. So what I always do is I really help people focus on the results that they want to do. Whether it's if they want to lose weight, it's like, by when, how many pounds do you want to lose, or what kind of level of fitness do you want to achieve, or when do you want to be in relationship. It's really looking at the result. What is it that you want, tangibly want, rather than creating a honey-do list in your day timer of all these actions that really may not necessarily be guiding you towards what you really want. You can be busy, but not productive.
Marie, I would think your clients, when they're working with you, you're heavily involved with them, of course, in the planning stage. You're obviously going to be very heavily involved with them at the end when you're and looking back and looking over the results of the reinvention. But during the actual doing stage, to me, it seems like that would be the time where the client maybe has less time with you because they're out doing their thing. That could be scary for that client. How do you keep that interaction going so you make sure you do keep them on course?
Well, in the program that I offer called Reinvent Yourself with Purpose, Passion, and Power, we have 8 sessions together.
So you're always got that guiding hand on us.
That's right. You know, there's life that happens between the sessions. The sessions might be between 2 and 3 weeks apart. So what between that is when people are really implementing and having their conversations, going on their interviews, writing their letters, making their phone calls, whatever it is that they're doing. And then we certainly have our check-ins to make sure that people are on the right track.
I would think, Marie, and we're talking with Marie Fortoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars, a life coach, life consultant, noted speaker. I would think this would be one of the more difficult jobs for you because the clients are excited about the planning stage. You know, I'm ready to get going. But then when they actually start doing it, you know, whether it's, you know, losing weight and having to exercise or whatever it is you've got them doing to reinvent themselves, that might be where you're starting to maybe not lose the client, but they're losing their focus, where you've got to be on top of your game to reel them back in, say, hey, keep going, keep going, keep going. That's where you put on your little coaching hat.
Yeah, it's really great that you said that, because I always say that, you know, in session 1 and 2, which is the creation stage, everybody loves to create. And when they start to create, it's really fun. But then when you start to get into the meat of something, the doing it, you know, the got to make the donut stage, you know, it's where people start to want to like not do it. They want to go and revert back to what they were doing because it was easier and it's familiar. So to really stay on top and have some power coaching sessions that are short 15-20 minute bursts between that, some phone calls, some email support is something that I think really makes a difference for people.
We always love to tell stories here on the show. Do you have a story of someone that maybe was in the doing stage and they were just losing their focus a little bit and you kind of had to reel them back in and you got them over the hump and now to this day they're thank you, Marie, for keeping me on track?
Yeah, actually, I happen to coach a lot of people in the sales profession or, you know, business owners. And I think what happens is, people somehow, if they're approaching something and it's sometimes when they're almost getting what they want, they have a tendency to like step outside because there's that excitement and there's that, oh my God, what if I do this stage? So I think one of the things that a coach would do is to really true them up. And that is to really go back to what's the reason that they're doing this? What's the intention of what they're about? What's their why, as we say? And when you can help people revert back to the why, which is the context for what they're doing everything in their life, the context is decisive and the context will true them up and somehow restore them. So they get reinvented even in that moment.
All right. We're talking with Marie Fortoni about the second stage of reinventing yourself on her weekly segment here on our show, Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm going to go out on a branch and on a wild guess here and say that maybe next week, next time, we're going to talk about the third and final stage.
Hey, I think that would be good.
Wow. See how smart I am, Stephen?
Well done, Mike.
Yes. Mike, you're a pro at this.
Not my first rodeo, John.
You've been implementing well, Mike.
Let's say someone now wants you know, they want to hire you. They want to reinvent themselves. What's the first step? What do they need to do to get in touch with you, Marie?
Well, they can go to my website, which is www.reinventyourselfseminars.com, and send me an email. My contact information is there. And what we'll do is we'll line up for a complimentary strategy session, get together, see if what you're up to creating is a good fit for what I'm doing and I'm a good fit for what you're doing, and we'll rock and roll.
All right, Marie, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
See you next week. Marie Fortoni with Reinvent Yourself Seminars. A big thank you to our other guests today. Ken Fainer with TheSocialGlue.com, Sharon Rocchia with Your Seamless Event, and John Chuckery and Jason Sanowski with Scott's Lawn Service. A quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs anytime 24/7 by logging on to BusinessRadioX.com. For Stephen Julian,
I'm looking forward to my seamless Chick-fil-A sandwich at lunch.
Very well, good. And you're going to stay off your lawn.
Yes. I'm not touching my lawn ever again.
Go home to your wife, Stacy, and say, I was told, do not mow. Don't try to fix the lawn.
And I'm glad there's wonderful social glue to hold it all together.
Well done, my friend. Well done. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.